Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we're going to be talking about gratitude. So please feel free to participate or just to listen. And so far, we have no callers, and that's fine too. Welcome to all of you listening in the podcast. And let me welcome my co-host, Kat Edwards. Kat, hi there.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm doing excellent. How about you, sweetheart?
Yep, I'm fabulous. Thank you. It's a beautiful autumn day here in Brisbane in Australia, and I'm very grateful for the cooler weather.
Well, I'm glad that you have it. We're starting to warm here, and even though it started off at 7 degrees Fahrenheit this morning, which is quite a dip below freezing. The day warmed up nicely, got up to 40, and the sun was out, so it felt warmer than that. And we're going up into the 50s this week, which is mid-spring-like weather. So I'm very grateful for that. We did have snow last night. And winter's not over yet, but things are looking up. So I'm very optimistic that the seasons are changing. And I always welcome spring. It's a wonderful time of the year, as is autumn.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 29 degrees centigrade here, or Celsius, which is 84 degrees Fahrenheit for everybody who uses Fahrenheit. So it's quite warm still, but it's just a few degrees cooler than it has been, and it makes all the difference.
Good. Well, I mean, you're early in your day. That seems pretty warm for 11:30 in the morning.
Yeah, but it was, I think, about 22 degrees Celsius overnight. So that is 35.6 degrees Fahrenheit. No, hang on. I better put another two there. 71.6 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
So our overnight low is still pretty warm.
That's all right. You're quick on the draw. I didn't have my conversion chart up, so I couldn't help. And anyhow,
I'm glad for the conversion chart.
Right. Yeah. Well, it sounds like we're both grateful for the weather, anyhow. And otherwise, life does happen to both of us. And recently, we've had our challenges, but we're both in a great place tonight. And for me, a lot of that does stem from gratitude. How about you, Kat?
Gratitude's what I fall back on all the time. It's my go-to.
Well,
it's what makes me feel buoyant. If I don't have that space of gratitude, I can fall into sort of angry, mean pessimism, and I stop seeing beauty everywhere. So I don't want to go there.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I thought we'd start off the show just with the dictionary definition of gratitude, and then somebody else's take on the meaning of gratitude, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
Okay, gratitude is the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for, and to return kindness. I like that. I like that very much. And here, from skillsyouneed.com, what it says about gratitude is it's a warm feeling of thankfulness toward the world or towards specific individuals. The person who feels gratitude is thankful for what they have and does not constantly seek more. And I can relate to both of those meanings and definitions.
Although, yes, me as well. Yeah.
I was a little surprised about not showing appreciation for, but returning kindness is a part of gratitude. I like that symbiosis very much.
Yeah, well, it because you feel, to me that's a compassion, because you feel the nurturing and love that you receive from kindness from others. So you then want to express that back, and then vicariously you see how the other person thrives from that experience, and it's very warming, and that to me is a part of gratitude. You know, when you're doing a kindness for somebody else, you aren't necessarily benefiting it monetarily or in any other kind of physical gain, but what you can be benefiting from is that compassionate state of mind and the joy of seeing somebody else feel the experience of the kindness and the gratitude that they have, and then that will then make you feel grateful for all the kindnesses that you've had, and the gratitude also that they're feeling gratitude. It's like a whole beautiful circle, isn't it?
It certainly is. And you mentioned a few key words. I have a housemate who believes the three most important words or attitudes are gratitude, compassion, and love. And you mentioned all of those words.
Well, they are very important, aren't they? And I think that they're a great foundation for anyone to have a life that feels good.
Well, I like the way you talk about that, because it reminds me of Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham, and one of the things that Abraham postulates is the importance of feeling good and finding that space wherever you're at. I mean, it's not to say that you don't experience human emotions, and some of them are painful, but the point is that you can reach toward that feeling good place. And when you're in that place, all kinds of miracles happen, because you're just open. You're totally open. You view life as enjoyable, and you attract positive energy to yourself, which can help things manifest in your life. It does all kinds of amazing things. What do you think, Kat?
Yeah, I have to agree. And Esther Hicks talks about good feeling thoughts, and having a habit of being in good feeling thoughts is really important. It's still important to acknowledge the thoughts that are difficult for you, because some of them are because you're dealing with a real situation in your life, and you have to work through them, and maybe you need to talk to a friend who can just help you talk about it and organize your mind a little bit. But to stay in a place where you're having negative feeling thoughts all the time only attracts negative experiences, because you stop seeing the opportunities, you stop seeing the bright moments. And those bright moments bring good luck. They bring good opportunities. They bring fun and happiness and freedom. And when you're in a consistent habit of being in good thoughts, those things keep flooding to you. So it's really important to say to yourself, I acknowledge my negative feeling thoughts, and I'm going to take an action plan to work through them. They may involve me having to have words with certain people. They may involve me having to take action steps to change things, but they do not define me. My negative feeling thoughts are not who I am. My negative feeling thoughts are my inner truth, not feeling in alignment with what's going on in my life. and they are telling me that I must adjust my life accordingly. My positive feeling thoughts are in alignment with my life. And so if you start to have them more and more, then you start to feel more and more happy. Start to see, even when something really horrible happens, you can still find a way to smile.
Well, you know, I'm glad you talked about thoughts, because to me, everything begins with the thought. And from there stem attitudes, actions, words, all kinds of things that are significant in terms of shaping our lives. And
yes.
I read something that I really liked about how you practice gratitude, and I'd like to share that. It comes from kidshealth.org, and it says to notice good things, look for them, and appreciate them, and to savor, absorb, and really pay attention to those good things. So that means to be aware, as I see it, to be conscious. And when we're conscious to the moment, we realize that there's nothing that needs to keep us down, as I see it. I'd be interested in your take on that in a moment, Kat. And the final thing is to express your gratitude to yourself. Write it down and thank someone. And I have found that gratitude journals are really important. I like to use affirmations. I like to use examples of gratitude. I like to write about that. I like to write poetry. And I think it is so important to let people know how important they are to us, how grateful we are for them being in our lives, because life is short. And there's no time like the present to express your love and gratitude to somebody. So what do you think about those things, Kat?
No, I think that you're totally bang on the money there. You really need to be in the moment with gratitude. And keeping a gratitude journal is one of the ways that you can get into that habitual thought process, because you can sit down every night and, you know, they often say to write five things you're grateful for from the previous day. You know, you've just gone to bed, you get a little journal out before you do your last little bit of reading for the night, and you write five things you're grateful for. And I've done this in the past, and your obvious things are important to be grateful for, but it's the less obvious things as well that are important. For example, I'm grateful that there was a breeze today. You know, it was a hot day, and I'm grateful that there was a breeze. I'm grateful that I have fingernails. I'm grateful that the grass is green. I'm grateful that the possums who live in my neighborhood come to visit me, even though they poo and wee everywhere on my veranda. They're very cute. If you look up what an Australian bush-tailed possum looks like, you'll see they're very, very cute. I'm grateful for all the cute, fluffy animals. You know, like there's so many things to be grateful for. It's like we've talked before about the basic good and seeing it everywhere. It's the same sort of deal. You're seeing goodness everywhere, and that way you're immersed in goodness, and you're not seeing goodness on a moral term. You're taking what everybody who's ever told you how to think out of the equation. You're not taking what your teachers told you. You're not taking what your religion told you. You're not taking what your parents told you. You're taking what your heart tells you. And you're seeing the good in the beauty that's around you. And that beauty could be, I'm grateful for a break in the traffic that I had today so I could cross the road. You know, Like it really, it doesn't have to be something that you would consider to be significant. It just has to be something that your heart is happy about. And that is worthy of being grateful for. And then I also have to say, David, and you and I obviously had completely different paths. You're 20 years older than me. You've gone through an incredibly interesting time in history when I was an infant with the gay male scene in the USA. And I'm also very fascinated with your experience in that. And I'm quite grateful that I get to know somebody who went through that, because all I've ever been able to see it is in historical account movies. I've read about it in articles. And, you know, I hear people talk about it, but to have somebody I know who's actually been through that and can take from a first-hand experience, I find that I'm very grateful for that, to have someone like you in my life that I can then go, wow, you know, I wasn't there, but I know someone who was. And you've had your difficulties and I've had mine. And so that period in your life was difficult and great at the same time. So are there periods that in my life have been difficult and great as well. Though I wasn't ever, I don't think I was ever really part of a big, giant historical movement, though I have been part of the whole spiritual, the immersion of humanity in a spiritual perspective over the last 20, odd years here in Australia. It's been going on for a lot longer in the rest of the world. But I'm grateful for that pain, and I'm grateful for the being part of history in my own way. But I'm very grateful to people that I know who have been a part of history and have got an incredible bank of knowledge. To me, that's that's something that we should really be acknowledging. It shouldn't wait till somebody's passed away and we're reading out their eulogy to recognize that they had such an incredible part to play in the role of the growth of humanity.
Well,
are you there?
Yeah, I am. I'm taking it all in, and I have a lot of comments to make that I didn't even realize were within me on the subject. But one of the things that you talked about that I've considered many times. You talked about those difficult and challenging times in our lives and how that's affected us. And I think the important thing to note, because, you know, the period of time you mentioned and the feelings I had connected to coming out and accepting that I was gay were very conflicted, because when I was a child and a teen, being gay was classified as a mental illness. And there was a lot of misinformation. There was a lot of prejudice. And there's very little of that remaining today. I never thought I'd live to see gay marriage, as an example. I never thought that I would be comfortable not caring what anybody else thought that I was gay. And I've come to the conclusion that I don't need to wear a banner anymore. I just am, and that's a part of who I am, granted an important part of who I am. But I would never deny that I'm gay. I just don't feel the need to go out. And I hate the word flaunt it. I would say I don't need to go out wearing a button on me that says that I'm gay. I like people to get to know me, and I think in some ways it's less threatening to other people to get to know somebody first, and these are people that may have prejudices, and then for them to wake up to the fact that, hey, I've got a gay friend. Wow, he's cool. I like him. He's not anything like what I thought, and maybe I thought wrong. But getting back to those difficult experiences in our lives, I was thinking about how important they actually are as a foundation, part of the foundation that shapes who we are today. And I'm very grateful for who I am today. I love myself today. And I have to say that there was a silver lining to all those difficult experiences, because I wouldn't be the person I am today had I not gone through them. And I'm both a survivor and a thriver. I've always been headed in the direction of wanting something good for myself, to use the word good. And I've survived some very painful things in my past, but today I'm embracing the good. I'm embracing the good about being gay. I'm thriving. And that is freeing me up to be happy most of the time. And that's a wonderful feeling, because there have been points in my life where I've been very unhappy and very depressed. So thank you for covering some of those things that stimulated thoughts for me. There's that word stimulation again.
You can tell me I stimulate you. Funny.
Well, it's...
Yeah. but it is what it is. You know, it's important to acknowledge it. And I was only talking to my partner this morning about, who's also called David, about something that Chogyam Trungpa talks about in his spiritual teaching. He wrote the Shambhala Method, if you want to look him up if you're listening. And it's spiritual materialism, but you can transfer that to any attitude. And it is basically when somebody thinks that the only way that they can thrive in their mindset is to flaunt it out there, put it out there, wear bizarre clothing, go and learn every single modality and make out that they're incredibly important, have tons and tons of crystals on them, you know, try and look like a yogi gypsy who's been, you know, to some sort of American Indian sweat lodge all at once. You know, somebody like that, it's all, they're putting it out there too much. They're trying too hard. And by doing that, they're actually making themselves limited, because they're putting the ego into the situation. Whereas somebody who just is, they just be. They just have no need to show or tell anybody that they're a spiritual person. Just get around in jeans and a T-shirt, go shopping, you know, go to sleep, roll over, watch TV, meditate when they feel like it, go and talk about stuff that's interesting, learn stuff, and feel the connection all the time. And it's the same with people with their sexuality. You know, you can just transfer spiritual materialism to sexual materialism. You have people who have to, and look, we've got extroverted people out there who are flamboyant, no matter what their sexual orientation. So I certainly don't want to have people think that I'm only talking about gay people, because there's plenty of straight people and bisexual people and asexual people who are extroverted. But no matter what it is that you're into or identify with, if you feel that you have to be over the top to let everybody know that you're doing it, at some point you're limiting yourself in your growth. And at first it might be useful, but then after a little while it becomes childish. And you really have to start to look at yourself from within out. And you realize all these things that you're wearing are not really who you are. They're representations of who you are. So I think that's what you were talking about. You know, it's one of the things I love about you and the gay friends that I have, because I have several gay friends, and every single one of them is the same, male or female. They're just getting on with life. They're just casual, right, regular people getting on with life. You wouldn't know they're gay unless you outright said, hey, what's your sexual orientation? Or they just happen to let you know. And I respect that. and that's something I'm grateful for.
I'm glad. That makes me feel good that you look at people like that with that kind of attitude. I was thinking also about something that you said earlier, and that was being grateful for the little things. And you used the example of a light turning so that you can cross the street. One of the things that I'm grateful for are green lights. And today, I went along the stretch of road that probably had a dozen traffic lights. And it's rare that you can get through more than two or three more before you get a red light. Well, today, and it's very important to me to be on time to places, never more than 5 minutes late, but preferably a little earlier, right on time. And today, every single one of those lights was green. And I made it to where I was going 2 minutes early, but I could have been 5 minutes late because I didn't really allow myself what I would have considered to be enough time. I thought I was going to be late. But, you know, I also like the fact that you talked about other things you're grateful for, and I'll say a few things. Some of them are big, some of them are small. I'm so grateful for the love in my life, for my support system, for my friends, my true friends. And I've had to use discernment over the years to see who's true and who's not true and let go of some people as they let go of me, and I couldn't understand why that was happening. So the people in my life are paramount, and I let them know that I love them, and I love you, Kat. I wanted to say that.
I love you too, David.
Anyhow, friends are great, and for some of us, we don't have comfortable families. We may even come from toxic families. And blood is not necessarily thicker than water. A lot of people, and we talked about gay people, this was true 30, 40 years ago. Their families would disown them, and so they had to create their own families. And anybody that comes from an environment that is not supportive and loving and nurturing and all of those things, I hate to use the word should, but they should think of creating positive families and viewing friends, close friends, as family, so that they don't lose that family connection and have a friend that they can talk to about. I have a friend like this whose family doesn't embrace her and doesn't believe that she should have all these white friends. She's a person of color. And she just has had to form a new family for herself. And there's been a lot of sadness connected to her biological family. But she's able to talk about that sadness with people that she's close to who have been in the family she's created, and I like that. But some of the other things that I'm grateful for our first caller, who's a good friend of mine. Her name is Trish. So, Trish, I'm grateful for you. I love you. And I will bring you live in a while. I'm grateful that it was a sunny day, that spring is coming, as I said. I'm grateful that I'm working things through with my husband. However things may come out in the end, at least we're both willing to work through difficulties and try to find common ground, which I think is so important. I'm grateful for people who do seek common ground, who do seek those similarities that bond us and don't view the differences with any kind of judgment. I'm grateful for my home, for my pets. I couldn't begin to count the number of things I'm grateful for. And for somebody where the big things are not falling into place for them and they're feeling very down about that, I like what you said, Kat, about appreciating the little things, because we all have, I mean, we can breathe, you know, if we're healthy. And if we're unhealthy, hopefully we've got a good support system around us to provide support while we're going through a difficult situation. So those are some of my thoughts connected to gratitude and how I feel them in my life. And the one thing that surprised me a little bit, Kat, and you accepted that it was part of your definition of gratitude, and that was not only showing appreciation for others and their kindnesses, but to return the kindness. And that only makes sense. I mean, we go full circle, and it's all about giving and receiving. And for some people, those qualities are lacking or unbalanced. And it's a wonderful thing to give and to receive. And I know that when I give, I receive more in return from the joy of having given to somebody. It's like, you know, it's like a miracle, if you will. It just keeps on growing, gratitude. So those are some of the thoughts I had. And I don't know if you want to reflect on that, Kat, or if I should go to Trish. I'll let you make the call.
Yeah, just before we go to Trish, I just want to say, you know, that when you're writing out your gratitude, you need to be grateful for yourself as well, for things that are within you, like your courage and your strength, and having a mind, having an ability to think for yourself, having a heart, being able to see, touch, taste, feel, know, and having the ability to love, be grateful for your belongings and all of these external things, but be grateful for the aspects of you that allow you to be human as well. So that's really, really important. And we touched on it earlier, but those things that hurt in your life, it's much easier once you're out of it and it no longer affects you. But it is important to look back and be grateful for what you've learned, and that experience has helped you to grow. And therefore, that is an internal gratitude, because that has caused you to mature in some way, shape, or form.
The only thing
I wanted to talk to Trish.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make one more comment. I'll try to be brief. If I can remember what the comment was, it had to do with people who have who don't have the kind of self-esteem where they can appreciate themselves. And I think that, you know, if you're one of those people, it's important to take baby steps forward, or to affirm that you're at least willing to be open to the idea that you are a blessed child, that you are worthy of love, things like that. So I just wanted to add that comment. And we also have Al joining us tonight. Let's go to Trish and see what she has to say about gratitude. Hi, Trish.
Hi, David. Hi, Kat. Thank you for that lovely comment, David. I love the topic. I love the topic gratitude. I have, you know, being in solitude, because I live alone during COVID, it's made me very aware of all that I have, you know, in physical things and in the wonderful people that I have in my life. And I have been very discerning over the past few years about who remains in my life and who doesn't remain in my life. And that has allowed me to stay in gratitude for the people that I allow to stay in my life. Because I know in the past, I wasn't as discriminating about who I let in my life. And now I am. So that is one way that I have grown. One thing that I have been doing, I've been reading a book, and they suggest to write a letter every week to someone that and tell them how grateful you are to have them in your life. And I've been doing that. And The first one that I wrote was to a friend who just lost her mother. And, I didn't hear anything from her for about a week and a half. And so I just called her up just to say hello, not to talk about that. I actually, as soon as I send it out, I forget about them. And she told me how much that meant to her. And, you know, it was just telling my, what I actually thought and you know, memories that I had going way back, like 25 years. She was just, I could tell it really touched her. So you really don't know how by expressing yourself, you know, how you're going to affect somebody else. So I was grateful that she was grateful for it. So that's about all that I can think of right now. It's a great topic. I love it.
Well, thanks so much, Trish. You know, it's wonderful when somebody has that attitude in their life and can express gratitude for the state of being grateful. And that's something I see you doing. I hear it. You keep such a positive attitude toward life, and I'm grateful to know you.
Oh, I'm grateful to know you too, David. You've been a good friend.
Well, thank you. And the beauty about Trish and myself, Kat, and Al, as you may know, is that we've only known each other 2.5 years, and we've formed a very tight bond in that period of time. And I will say that the people that I'm close to in my life now, aside from Al and my father, have all come into my life in the last 17 years. And many of the people who I thought were my friends dropped away around that time, and it was very disconcerting. But even though I felt hurt by those actions, I still was grateful for those relationships while they endured. And I'm especially grateful that I've come into a place where I feel the people in my life are genuine, that they are going to be there for me through thick and thin. And so I just wanted to express that thought. Let's go to Al and see what Al has to say. I appreciate you joining us midway through the show, Trish. That's very nice of you. Thank you. Al, you're live. What would you like to say about gratitude?
Well, I'm grateful for you in my life too, David. I'm very happy to have you in it. And I was connecting with some things that you and Trish both said. It can be hard for other people sometimes to hear that you're grateful to have them. And I'm not talking about you, David. I know you can hear that, but I know some people have a hard time hearing that. And you were talking about people having had difficulties in their life that make it hard for them to hear that. I was kind of thinking about, like, my dad when I was growing up, who was not a huggy person, and not with me, and we grew up in that culture where he wasn't. But my nephews started hugging their grandfather, and he looked rather uncomfortable with it at first, and he gradually got kind of used to it, and I started hugging him, and he got more used to it, and I think it's kind of that way with, you know, I still want to tell, even though people might have a hard time hearing it from me, I still want to tell them that I love them or I'm grateful to have them in my life. I think even though it feels uncomfortable for them, you know, if they can gradually take it in small ways, it's important for them to hear that and to start to acknowledge that about themselves, that they are worthy people, as we all are, of, you know, being loved and cared for. And just, you know, I do a lot of work in my life around some really tough emotional stuff. And as part of that, I don't like want to stay there. I don't want to carry that throughout my day, throughout my life, because what I want to carry for the most part when I'm not working intensely on emotional stuff is noticing in my life what are the things that are joyful and I'm grateful for. So I always try to make sure that I come back to that place if I can. And I slip with that. You know, it gets easy to get stuck in emotional stuff or turmoil that's going on for us and to carry that over farther than we should into our daily life. The gratitude piece is such an important antidote to that, you know, and staying present, noticing the other things in our life. I think that's all I want to say. Thank you, David. Thank you.
You're welcome. I was reading some things that I Googled, and there's something you said that I wanted to underscore that it says here. And well, there are ways that gratitude can change your life, but I think what's important, it talks about how you appreciate what you have rather than what you don't have. And change your life in many ways. It's such a source of inspiration that you can pay attention to the simple things in life, the beauty in life, the miracle of life, and it also affects your body in positive ways. And maybe Kat would like to say something about that. I don't know.
Just reframe the question, please, David.
Oh, well, I was just talking in terms of how gratitude can help us pay attention to the simplistic beauty and miracle of life. And that part of that miracle is that we are alive, that we are vital, and a lot of that comes from gratitude because it affects our bodies as well as our outlook. I don't know if you had anything to say about that, but how it changes the brain and what happens within the brain.
Yes, it does. It can really cause you to forget who you are, because if you don't live a life full of gratitude, you can forget who you are. You can go into a place where all you can think about is anger and frustration and negative feeling thoughts, and then in turn affects the way that you see the world, and it begins to affect the body in which you encounter the world. You can create illnesses from that, and you can cause yourself to experience side effects in the brain. We know that the prefrontal cortex is where we experience a lot of positive thinking, higher thinking, thinking that involves compassion and understanding. And we know that the cerebellum and the lower part of the brain is where we're going to be having the more reptilian experiences, where it's just sort of automatic. It's where we start to find all of our fight, flight, and freeze. It's the autonomic nervous system. You don't have to think about things that happen in your body, they just happen, like your heart beating, the various sphincters in your veins opening and closing, things like this. You don't have to think about these functional aspects of your body. It's all sort of automatically going on. But if you put yourself under a great deal of stress, and we are going to be talking about the long-term effects of chronic stress in an upcoming show. But if you are sitting there and not having any kind of thoughts of gratitude at all about life in general, then I'm afraid you're putting yourself under a fair deal of stress, and you're not able to start to find out who you are, remember who you are, or focus on anything that expresses the true aspect of you. And instead, you secrete cortisol, you strain and stress the adrenal glands, and you live in a permanent state of survival. And in that place, you start to trigger genes that can cause cancer, that can cause diabetes, that can cause a cluster F of different horrible diseases, high blood pressure and so on. So, you know, if you want to just look at it from that perspective, from how it physiologically affects you, not having an attitude of gratitude, but having an attitude of dissatisfaction instead, can actually cause you to have a shorter lifespan, a lower quality of life, and that includes a lack of social contact, because people don't want to be around people who are really grouchy and negative all the time. You know, and you can have as much money as you want, you can have as much outward success as you want, but if that's your outlook, if you've got a dissatisfied permanent meanness to you, then, you know, that may as well be ash in your mouth, that food. Those clothes may as well be rags, and that money in your account may as well just give it away, because none of it means anything truly to you, because you're not really focusing on what the joy and the fulfillment is in who you are and in your life. And that's where having that attitude of gratitude can really turn everything around. It's like literally turning the light on. You don't have to be in that state of survival anymore. You don't have to be angry and mean and upset all the time. Yeah, we get triggered. I got triggered yesterday by something and felt really, really stressed out for quite a long time. But I knew that I was triggered. I knew why I was triggered. And the people around me, one of the things that I chose to do was walk away, because somebody who was with me was triggering me. So I needed to walk away and take a breath. I didn't fall into angry thoughts. I fell into, this is what's happening to me. I know this is happening. I know why. And I need to now deal with this so I can get back to equilibrium. And that is a far more useful way to deal with life, because with that outlook, you can look around you and still see the beauty. Whereas if I was to go into victim mode, oh my God, I've been triggered, my life's hell, you bastard this, la la la. I've lost that gratitude. And I've gone into a mode that can make me sicker and sicker and sicker.
Well, thank you, Kat. I just wanted to share one thing, and we do have another caller that's joined us. Thank you, area code 917. If you want to share on the subject of gratitude, you're welcome, and if you just want to listen, that's fine, too. I'll come to you in a minute. There's something that Mary Blake, who's been a guest on my show many times and who's a prominent healer, said to me that woke me up to possibilities. Now, the optimist may say the glass is half full, and the pessimist may say it's half empty. And I thought, well, that's good. That's a good thing. And then she asked me, how full is my glass? And I said, it's half full. She said, it's not full? And I thought, oh, wow, now that's something. I hadn't thought of that before. And then she said, so you embrace that the glass is full. Is that enough? And I said, what do you mean? She says, perhaps you need a larger vessel, that your vessel is as large as it can be, and that it's overflowing. And that's what we can do with gratitude, I believe. Not to say that we don't have those human experiences that take us from that place temporarily, but gratitude is an attitude that we cultivate, and it can bring so many wonderful things into your life. And before we go to meditation, I'm just going to check with area code 917 to see if they want to say anything. Hi, what's your first name, please? Okay. It's fine that you're just listening. And thank you so much for joining us tonight. Okay, is there anything you'd like to say to wrap up, Kat, before we go to meditation? I have to end promptly at 9:30 tonight.
Just everybody who's listening, thank you. We're very grateful to you for joining us every week, and I'm often really delighted to find out that somebody's tuned in. I'm hoping Bob Smith has, if you have. Hi, Bob. And I hope it sounds a bit better than I did last week. Apparently, we had a microphone issue. But I want to just say thank you to everybody who does tune in, does listen, and does contribute to the show. We're very grateful to you, and it's what keeps us going. And it's the little things that we see you do that makes us feel like we can put the effort in to keep going. Because sometimes David and I have difficult days, and sometimes we don't feel like doing the show. But because we know that you're there, that changes it up for us, and we feel grateful towards you, and that makes us want to keep going. So I just want to say a big thank you, and thank you also to everybody that's liked our page. We've grown to, I think it's 318 likers. So, you know, I'm very grateful to you all. Thank you.
I am too. For over 2 years, we've been doing this show now, and it is a wonderful opportunity for healing, and not just for the people that listen, because the show is called The Healing Circle, but for both Kat and myself. As she said, there's sometimes when we don't feel like doing the show, but when we do it, it does raise that attitude of gratitude back into our lives. And I think we both could agree that every show, no matter what's been going on in our personal life, has been an uplifting experience. So, you know, I'm grateful for that as well. Kat has agreed to honor us with a meditation tonight. So, Kat, I'm going to turn it over to you. If you can be mindful of the time, I'd appreciate it. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So let's all get comfortable sitting or lying down. And as always, I ask you to just have a little wiggle. Get yourself into a nice, comfortable spot. And I'd like you to just breathe in a comfortable way. We're just looking for comfort. Feel like you're being held by gravity, Mother Earth. Feel that comfort, that warmth of being held that the gravity and the earth give you. Get a little bit dreamy. So nice. And take yourself back in your little dreamy mind. Back to a time when there was a break in all the chaos. There was a little bit of order. Could be recently. Could be years ago. Just a whole lot had happened and then there was a break. And it was so nice, wasn't it? You didn't have that stress, that pounding headache, that worry, those deadlines. It was just so easy breezy. And you didn't know how long it had lasted. You didn't care. You just in the moment of enjoying that peace. That well-earned rest. And sit up and look around. It's a sunny day. It's not too hot, not too cold. It's a light breeze. You can hear the birds singing. You're in nature, your favorite place in nature. Beach. Nearby, bank, park, mountaintop, wherever it is for you. And next to you is a beautiful journal. It's so beautiful. It's leather bound. It's got gold edging to the pages, but they're all recycled paper.
It's a gorgeous pan. It's got a nice weight to it, and it just feels good in your hand. It's the correct type of tip to make your writing neat. It's perfect. This is the perfect journal and pen for you. And open it up and write your name at the top. Write it as if you're writing the name of somebody you really truly love and admire. And write your current age. And look at that. You've lived that many years. Isn't that good? You can reflect on people who've passed on and you're still alive. People your own age who are no longer there. They didn't get to live as long as you. But you're still here. Isn't that good? So grateful that I'm this age. I'm so grateful for my age. Look at your name. Isn't it beautiful? Look at the way that it's the word that is your name, the beautiful placement of each letter to create the sound of your name. Your name has depth and meaning. It has meaning to all of humanity, not just to your parents who named you. It's more than a badge. It's a vibrational input into your outer personality. It's beautiful. I'm so grateful I have a name. So grateful I have a name. Now, let's write your date of birth. And if you know it, your time of birth. Wow, you were born on that day. At that time, your mother went into labor with you. She made that sacrifice for you. She sacrificed a good figure to let you grow within her. And she birthed you. You're either born naturally or by cesarean section. Either way, she went through a sacrifice and the pain for you to be born. And here you are, so amazing. A miracle, each and every conception is a miracle. There's so many reasons that you could not have been conceived, and yet you are. Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to my parents who made me, and I'm so grateful to the day I was born. I was born that day. I'm so grateful to my mother who birthed me, who let me grow within her belly, who fed me as she fed herself, gave me this life. I'd like you to draw a stick figure. And stick figure is of you. It's of your body. Your hair, your hands, your feet. Your tall, short, thin, fat, smile. No body, no life. I'm so grateful I have a body. Because it's an amazing body. You have a body. I feel that absolute gratitude that you were born, that you have a body. You have a name and you've grown this old. Isn't that wonderful? Now close the book and look up to the sky and smile. And when you're ready, open your eyes, continuing to feel grateful. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Kat. And with that said, I'm going to wish you all a good night, good day. Thank you for joining us, Kat. Thank you as always. And I'll look forward to next week when we're going to be talking about the effects of stress. So please join us again next week, and we're going to take an upbeat, upbeat attitude toward the show as we always do. So thank you all.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.